Once upon a time on a football field not too far away, the evil NRL battled for supremacy with the old Soccer Republic. They won that battle, but now seek to destroy the rebuilt Republic by first attacking the now infamous Football Sack Podcast.
Money Jones? Oh, it's the Jones Brothers!
Oh, look, there's Andrew and Money! What? Who's that?
Ooh, getting... die in a row!
Well, I think that's Jamal Idris. I thought he went to Gold Coast.
Take that $1 million deal.
What was that?
Is that all of them?
I think so. Wait, there's one more over there. Done.
Hello, welcome to the Football Sack Podcast. My name is Matt Greenwall. We have just defeated a threat, a football threat. The NRL has been taken down once and for all by the Football Sack team, lightsabers in hand. Today we'll be talking, as we always do, some A-League news. We'll have a look at some player tweets. We'll go around the country to the VPL, the New South Wales Premier League, bit of state leagues, the Queensland and WA leagues. We'll have an interview with another Scottish person, I feel. We'll do a few shout-outs, and that's about it, I think. And then we'll wrap up the show and get watching the Sydney FC game that is on currently. But first, I welcome my co-host, Pete Nowakowski. G'day, mate.
Hi, how are we doing? That was quite a battle we just fought.
You did really well, mate.
Thank you. I've used a lightsaber before. You didn't do too badly yourself.
Thanks. I have had some training in the ways of the Force.
Although I did notice you had a Wookiee crossbow on your back, so to you if you're using one of them.
Well, I didn't actually use it. I didn't need to. I was dual wielding two lightsabers and took down those
That's awesome, man.
NRL bandits.
Anyway, well, enough of that.
Why don't you kick us off and we can check out the A-League news.
Perth have continued the off-season recruiting with signings of Danny Ukovic, Neil Young, Dean Heffernan, Adam Hughes, Evan Berger, Travis Dodd and Shane Smelt, all to be wearing the Perth Glory jersey next season. There's no confirmation yet whether or not Robbie Fowler will be joining them. Brisbane Roar forward Costa Barbarousis has come home to start pre-season training with Brisbane Roar, after saying that his trials in Europe were just trials and nothing else. He plans on staying at Brisbane for the next few seasons. Staying with Raw, they've re-signed promising youngster and upcoming Aussie Roos hopeful, Rocky Visconti, for the next two seasons. On the other side of the continent, we've seen 32-year-old Michael Bridges hanging up his boots after an injury-plagued career. It's believed that he won't be leaving Jets anytime soon after an offer for an off-field position within the club. Lucas Neal has made the bold statement that he has no plans on coming home to the A-League anytime soon, claiming his future still lies playing football in Europe. And finally, Melbourne Victory coach is doing everything possible to try and change Kevin Muscat's mind about retiring if Melbourne do manage to make it to the next round of the Champions League.
We'll get to Kevin Muscat's retirement in just a second. Before we do, Michael Bridges, he has retired to take up a club role.
We don't know what the club role is.
Well, on the Raw today, there was talk of him being an advocate for the Newcastle Jets and for the A-League to players in the EPL overseas, so that he would go around to all his mates over in England and convince them to come over to Australia.
Fair enough. Well, he's got the support and he knows the European football very well after playing for Leeds and in the Premiership for so many years. So I guess he does have those links.
And I guess the main draw card that he would be he owns a restaurant.
Does he?
Yeah, he's just recently opened one up. Is it a restaurant or a pub? It's one of them.
Well, up in the... if you are listening, Can you invite us to said pub or restaurant?
Michael Bridges, we'd love a free meal there. You could buy us a beer.
Yeah. We'd be appreciative of that, that's for sure. Friends for life.
Here we are drinking our water. We could be drinking beer up at Michael Bridges' bar.
It's not right. If you have a bar or a restaurant, why haven't we got an invite yet?
We'd love to hear from you, especially since it's our 1 year birthday coming up.
Yeah, it's our 1 year birthday
anniversary, if you will.
It's a birthday. It's not an anniversary.
Hopefully, there'll be cake. It's 1 year officially on Sunday when that will mark the day when the football sack began.
Yeah, back in the day when it was just you and Christian.
Yeah.
And
reporting on the World Cup.
Yeah.
Those are fun times, but now it's a lot. Those were the independent
days. You can start reading up on the articles that Christian and Matt wrote. They're in the archives on our website.
So a year ago.
Jump on www.thefootballsack.com. Look on the far right-hand side. There's archives right there. Look through there. You can find all the original articles. They're good fun to read, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're a bit of a laugh. Unedited is what they are. So, yeah, Michael Bridges hopefully going to be getting some great A-League talent in the next season, really. Now, the other person that's recently retired, or retiring, Kevin Musket.
Mm. Tomorrow night's his last game. He's playing against Gambo Osaka. So, I'm heading down to that game. I actually am. I have my airfares booked and I'm all set.
You're off tomorrow. That's good luck. Enjoy that. You're going to wear your North Queensland jersey?
Yes, I will. And I also have my camera there to take lots of photos for you guys.
Representing. I like it in more ways than one.
Definitely.
I got a little bit upset yesterday.
So much that you wrote a song.
I did. Well, I just needed to vent my teary mood that I was in. So we're going to cut to that in a moment, and you can check out the song that I entitled Super Kev.
You are the one who let Melbourne defeat to me, pardon the pun. But it's funny to think you'll be gone, 'cause we'll miss you. Our wreck headed number two.
Yeah. Wow. You are really, really distraught about this, aren't you?
It was an emotional moment, you know? Kevin's going, and I mean, sure, he's going to stay on at the club, but I just won't get to see him in shorts anymore. And
oh, but see, you can. Because, remember, we filmed a Kevin Musket parody video. So, realistically, you can make a link here and say you're reliving Kevin Musket's career through this video.
You've just brightened my day, Pete. That's great. What you're saying is that if people jump on youtube.com/thefootballsack, they can see an amazing parody of Kevin Musket.
And you'll always remember him.
Oh, and what better way to say goodbye than to check out our video?
Definitely.
On YouTube.
I agree.
/thefootballsack. Oh, well, thank you for that.
No worries. While you're still in a good mood, why don't we jump to some player tweets
and
see what's been happening during the week.
Player tweets! Excellent!
Yeah. Alright, first up we had Rio Ferdinand over in England. He has come out and said, when going out in the West End, you had to dress up to get into a club. Plus, the girls never thought underdressing was cool. Hashtag old school. So he's remembering the old days.
I think he's showing his age there. I'm not sure whether that's a good thing or not.
Back when he had cornrows. Does he still have cornrows?
No, he shaved. He looks more like Skeletor these days.
Well, I think that's his trip pick as well.
Probably.
Closer to home, Mitch Nichols has said, nice little storm coming over on the Gold Coast. Wish I didn't leave my washing on the line. Hashtag scared.
Well, he's domestic, I guess.
He's domesticated. He's easily frightened.
Ladies, if you're after someone, Mitch Nichols does washing, so look him up.
Over in Korea at the moment is Scott Jamieson. He says, "Me and Seba just chilling in the room. Some good banter today. Lol, Chianese ain't happy. Tweeps!" Smiley face.
I have no idea what on earth he's going on about. Do you? What please. I understand that Seba is Sebastian Ryle. Yeah. I know that they're roommates.
So I wonder what the good banter was and what Joel and Chianese.
Why is Chianese not happy?
What's he not happy about? We'd like to know more, Scott.
Yeah.
So let us know. Or Seb, let us know what you're on about. What the in-house banter is all about. This is, our first female player tweet, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. Melissa Barbieri. Shattering... Ooh, I should put on a girly voice. "Shattering news for Katie and the Matildas. We are thinking of you, mate. No doubt you'll be looked after through recovery and missed on the pitch."
Now, this is because we know that Katie Gill, a centre forward for the Matildas, it has pulled out injured and is not going to make it to the World Cup.
She tore her ACL.
Yeah, that's not which good. She's out for quite some time now.
One of the worst injuries you can get as a footballer, I think.
I don't think we can actually make fun of this tweet because...
Like, no, it's fair call.
It's horrible.
I was laughing at the voice I was putting on and how hard I found that.
Yeah. But it is good news for the likes of Kaya Simon and Samantha Kerr. They're more likely to get starts during the World Cup now.
Well, Kaya Simon was always going to get a start, you would have thought.
You would have hoped so.
Yeah, I would hope so as well.
And that pretty much wraps up our... Player tweets! Excellent!
Yeah. You said yeah that time.
I know, I just wanted to feel, like, part of this joke.
You can say it next time.
Yes!
It's a one-man job.
Okay.
Let's move on to the New South Wales Premier League. Pete, kick us off with some results of the weekend.
Well, I'm going to start with good news, and it leads into some bad news, I guess. First up, we saw Bunyarig White Eagles get their first win of the season, 2-1, over Rockdale City Suns. Southern Sharks getting a 2-1 win over Bankstown City. We saw South Coast Wolves lose at home to Marconi Stallions 1-0. We also saw Apia Tigers lose also at home 4-1 to Sydney Olympic. We saw Blacktown City get the 2-1 win over Sydney United. And we saw a game washed out, which is disappointing really. Parramatta FC versus Manly United. You were meant to go to that, but it never happened.
Their games are constantly getting washed out. And
do you think it's a problem with Melita Stadium?
Well, the stadium's lovely. It's the pitch that's a bit of a problem. It's a bit of an issue. Mainly the middle of it gets quite muddy.
So the important bit of the pitch, really.
The important part. The stadium's quite nice. The foods are all right. This media box, lovely.
Well, that's always good to know.
There's nice people in the media box as well. But the middle of the pitch, obviously there are some drainage issues. And I think...
Well, this actually leads really, really well into the game that I was at, which was Sutherland versus Bankstown.
Okay.
Because at Seymour Shore Park, they have the artificial turf there.
Mm.
And realistically, you don't notice that it's raining because the pitch just moves a little bit faster. But that's it. And talking to head coach of Southo, Robbie Stanton, after the game, he's basically just said... Every team in the comp should have this artificial turf because it makes such a difference to the style of football. No longer do you have to worry about where the dips are in the ground. You don't have Brian Brown complaining that the pitch isn't good anymore. You can just play good football.
Well, last week, Brian Brown was complaining a bit
Definitely.
Of that. But then I managed to have a look at his home team's ground.
And how's the quality of the Bunyarig Sports Centre?
It's lovely, isn't it? It's a great stadium, and the pitch in particular, I think, it is that flat surface that he and his team really suit. So like, I understand where he's coming from when he's talking about Blacktown or Bankstown's...
Bankstown City.
Bankstown City's which is, it's pitch kind of being funny horrible.
Because Bankstown City's head coach, Kulevski, he said that he doesn't actually like playing at home at Jensen Park. Because he says that the pitch is too big for his team.
Yeah.
He okay. likes the stadium, but he thinks the pitch is too big and that every other team has the advantage.
What he's failing to tell you is that his whole team is 4'7".
Yeah, exactly. well, the problem is, with Bankstown, for instance, they play a 5-4-1 formation, and it's all very, very central. They don't really use their wings very well. And it's understandable that he doesn't like the fact that Bankstown is so big, even though Everett Field is the exact same size.
Cool. Let's go through those games one by one. Bonnyrigg first up. They got their first win of the season.
Yeah, definitely. Very, very happy with that, that's for sure.
That makes the rest of their five, they've drawn five games, and now they've won one. So they're undefeated through the season. That kind of turns their season around a bit. I believe the
it's definitely going to kickstart their season, that's for sure.
Yeah.
From here, they can only get better.
That's right.
Definitely.
I think a couple goals in that game were own goals to either team. I think one went down.
I think it was the winning goal that went down as the own goal in that one.
But then one earlier was the goal to Rockdale, I think, was an own goal. So it was an interesting back pass / mistimed kick that the goalkeeper for...
Oh, was it a Paul Robinson moment? Whereby he goes to kick the ball and very much the air swings?
And it trickled into the goal.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
He should be keeper for England if he does stuff like that.
Jump on the on the Football New South Wales website and check that out, the highlights of the round, because that is unmissable. You need to see that, and it's horribleness.
Yeah, but kudos to Football New South Wales, especially Mark Stavroulakis, Chris De Silva, and the rest of the Football New South Wales team. They do fantastic stuff. They get video highlights of at least three of the games each round.
And they live update games on Facebook as well.
Yeah, so it's always great to see that, that's for sure.
The next game was Sutherland Sharks. They are top of the table.
Yes.
They defeated...
Bankstown City. And it means that Sutherland Sharks remain top of the table with 4 wins, 2 draws after their first 6 games. Robbie Stanton, happy to get the win, but not too happy with the way that his side played. He thought that they should have done better, even though that Sam Awad came back after missing last week's game. He scored a goal, and good goal at that. And we also saw Matt Bailey get on the score sheet yet again.
Again, he's hot on the heels of Alex Smith.
Definitely. And I wouldn't be surprised if in the coming weeks we start seeing a couple of goals scored by Panny Nickers, because he's playing a bit more advanced role in Sutherland's side. Back when he was playing for North Queensland, we saw him playing more of a holding midfielder role. Now he's playing literally in that number 10 role, whereby he's holding right behind the strikers. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets on the score sheet soon.
Cool. Next game, Sydney Olympic decimated RPL Leichhardt 4-1. They're having good start to the season, because remember that all their games so far have been away, and the second half of their season will be at home, and they're sitting second on the table, just behind the Sutherland Sharks. And now, are they level on points with Sydney United?
No, they're actually 3 points ahead.
They're 3 points ahead.
Sydney United lost on the weekend.
They did. But Sydney United still have a game in hand, and we'll get to them. But Sydney Olympic...
They're playing some good football, that's for sure.
They are the dark... Well, not the dark horse. They are the ones to watch, because that home stretch that they have, you would expect them to do very well in the second half of the season.
They're actually playing against Bankstown City at Jensen Park this coming weekend. And to be fair, I used to be a Bankstown City supporter, so I understand how their football works, but I just don't see how Sydney Olympic will not be getting the results this weekend.
Is this you used to be a Bankstown supporter until all their players moved to Sydney Olympic?
More or less.
And also, now you're a Sydney Olympic fan? Or?
No, because I moved to the Sutherland. Kind of go to Sutherland games more often, and I know more of the players.
Fair enough. All right, Sydney United, they lost
to Mark Ryder then Blacktown City. That was the 2-1 there.
That's interesting. They've been doing well so far this season.
Definitely. They've always been one of those top two sides, and they slipped up against Mark Ryder then side. And
were they undefeated until then? Is that their first loss?
Yeah.
Cool. So everyone, you're always going to lose eventually, aren't you? And that's just one...
It's only a little hiccup. It's
little
a little
hiccup, that's what it is.
And they'll pick themselves up. They've got a couple of good games coming up soon that they should be getting the points in, that's for sure.
And the final game that we haven't mentioned yet is South Coast Wolves lost at home?
Yes, to Marconi Stallions.
Mm. How are Marconi going at the moment?
They are...
They're middle of the table somewhere.
They're mid-table, yeah.
We don't know exactly, and we would bring up a table if we had one somewhere, but we don't. So just jump on the New South Wales Premier League site. Jump on our site, if and I'm sure it's there somewhere.
Yeah, we'll link it to one of our articles. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, we don't want to be directing traffic away from thefootballsack.com.
No.
as much as we like helping out Football New South Wales, we prefer our own website.
With Parramatta FC not playing this weekend, it means that they still are bottom of the table. They've only got 2 points after six games.
Yet and to win the game.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of a blessing in disguise they didn't play Manly, because Manly have been hitting some form recently and they're looking better as their players are getting more used to each other. But this is, what, the second or the third game that's been called off at... for Parramatta, so they're having to play a couple of catch-up now.
Yeah, and I wonder when that will be. the season is quite short as it is.
Yeah.
So there's not... We'll
keep you posted, no doubt, so...
Yeah, we'll let you know.
We'll send you a tweet.
Yeah, keep an eye on the Facebook page and the Twitter. And we'll make sure that you get along to the Parramatta games, as I often do. I've seemed to go to a lot of those.
Yeah, it's odd. I seem to go to... three games in a row with the same coach.
Yeah.
So I followed Mark Ruddigan around for three games. I followed Robbie Stanton for three games.
They do seem to think that you're following them.
Yeah, it's really odd. At least I haven't got an AVO yet, which is always good.
That's always... Well, I've had several already, though. That's... How did you escape them?
I'm a ninja.
That's not true. That's not true. Well, I'm a Jedi, apparently.
let's move on to some women's New South Wales Premier League. We saw another 15 goals this weekend. Only 15, I was a bit disappointed, to be fair. We saw a couple of 1-0 results, and we even saw a nil or draw.
Wow. Last week, I'm pretty sure there was 15 goals in one game, wasn't there?
Pretty 14-1? Yeah, it was pretty much like that. The main game was Illawarra Stingrays going up against the New South Wales Koalas. Illawarra managed to get the 4-1 win, and Southern Branch stayed bottom of the table after a 3-0 loss to Sutherland Shire. And to be fair, the total goals so far this season, because I like to keep this tally going, it's 173.
Cool. Now, on a 14-1 scoreline, there was another 14-1 scoreline this week, and that happened up in the Queensland State League. Pete, go through that game a bit for us, please. Or just the teams, basically. I'm sure you weren't there, so...
Yeah, I can't be everywhere, I'm sorry. The 14-1 win, that was by Sunshine Coast managing to just absolutely annihilate Capricorn Cougars. It basically means that Sunshine Coast, they stay top of the table, they're cleared by 7 points, and Capricorn Cougars have 1 point. Absolute bottom of the table. So,
is it Capricorn Cougars that Melanie Dzinjaski was telling us? Melanie Dzinjaski is our Queensland State League correspondent. She does a weekly report for us each week on thefootballsack.com. Check it out. It's up there every week. But I think Capricorn is the team that only have about 14 rostered players.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
And so if they get any more injuries, they're kind of screwed.
Yeah. But our hope's still with you, Capricorn. Perhaps you can make the top four. Not really.
I've been in a team with 14 players that, and, you know, all your players are there each week. And sitting on the bench.
Wow.
A rather small bench. Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, the other games that happened in the Queensland State League this week, we had Far North Queensland Bulls managing to get a 3-1 win over Bundaberg Spirit. We saw Whit Sunday Miners get a 2-1 win over Gold Coast.
Miron Blyberg was actually at that match. And
I think Christian had a good chat to him, actually. Yeah, he was at that game as well.
Chatting him up. Yeah. He knows now knows all about the football sack. Thank you, Christian, for...
So, if you're missing Miron, buy us a beer.
Yeah, buy us a beer. I think well, you decided
or a,
that...
Or a cider in my case, because, to be honest, I prefer cider, so buy us a cider.
It doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
It doesn't. last game was the Mickey D Razorbacks having a 1-1 draw with Academy Sport.
Cool.
That's about it for Queensland State League, to be honest.
Who's on the top of the table?
Top of the table, Sunshine Coast. They're 7 points clear. And bottom of the table is Bundaberg Spirit Capricorn Cougars. They have the honour of propping up the table with 1 point, and the goal difference looked like they should be for a golfing school, not a football school.
Oh, no good for them.
No.
While we're in the region, up in Queensland, from next week, I believe, the Football Sack will be reporting on the Brisbane Premier League.
Will we?
I believe so. That's what I'm being...
That's mean, though.
Yeah, we now have accreditation for that league.
Awesome.
And we will have a reporter going around the games for us up there. Stay tuned.
Cool, so I welcome you, anonymous or unknown reporter.
Nicholas someone or other. I can't remember your name right now. I will give you a shout-out next week.
Hi, Nicholas. If you're listening, that is.
All right, let's move now down the coast. Bit of the Victorian Premier League.
Oh, do we have to?
We, you know, a bit of controversy this week down there.
Let's look at VPL.
I'm quite excited to talk about that. Not that it's too much of a unique occurrence. Because
to be fair, there's been a lot happening in the Victorian Premier League lately, especially with Dandong Thunder being deducted 6 points, fined $8,000, and they have to play the next 4 home games behind closed doors. All because 2 club associates managed to abuse the referee or a match official or someone in the April 16th fixture against Bentley Greens.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Apparently that, as I was saying, it's not a unique occurrence. That happens quite frequently, that teams are deducted points and the ladder is changed quite frequently due to misdemeanors.
There's another club which has actually had points deducted as well. I think it's Heidelberg United, but don't quote me on that. I'm fairly certain that they've also had points deducted.
Right.
They lost, I think it was 3, for a similar reason, I believe.
Interesting, and there's not much more FFV can do than deduct points and fine and ban spectators from attending games.
Yeah, there's not much known about this, to be honest, because all it says is 2 club associates were charged. So we don't really know who or what they did and so on. So it's a bit mysterious at the moment.
Well, I don't think we need to know, per se.
You prefer not to know?
Well, I just don't really care, to be honest. I just get rid of them. The interesting part of this is that the FFV have banned spectators from the next 4 home games for Dandenong. But they do allow 20 club officials. And the whole misdemeanor resulted from club officials.
Yeah.
So you would have thought you would ban the club officials.
But keep the fans.
Keep the fans. Let the fans run the match.
That's an interesting perspective, that. I reckon that could work.
What do you need club officials for? They're just, you know, selling the...
Just because they wear fluoro vests and think that they're better than us?
Make it free. You can get in free. The mums will...
Free hot pies.
Yeah, mums will handle the pies.
Yep.
Whatever else. The hot dogs. Or
the hot dogs, yes. And there'll be a beer on every seat. Women, children, men, whatever.
Whoever wants to handle the loudspeaker, the microphone, can do that.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon this idea will work.
You know, it's a bit communistic or socialistic.
Right, let's move away from that for a moment. And we'll
we
talk
are
about
not communists.
We'll talk about the results. So this week we saw Melbourne Knights have a 1-1 draw with Richmond. We also had Bentley Greens having a 1-1 draw with Northcote City. Remember, Northcote, not Northcote, Northcote. We saw St. Albans Saints, also known as St. Albans United, as renamed by us, they just got destroyed 5-0 by Heidelberg United. And we also saw Springvale White Eagles also get absolutely destroyed 5-0 by Green Gully Cavaliers. We had a 0-0 draw between South Melbourne and Dandenong Thunder. And then we also saw a 3-3 draw between Oakley Cannons and Hume City. The scores here are just quite odd, because we had 2 1-alls, we had 2 5-0s, we had a 0-0 and a 3-0. So everything just works magically.
And Oakley Cannons are sitting nicely atop the VPL ladder. Are they not?
Yes, they are. Coming up third, we've got Hume City. Dandenong Thunder dropped down to 4th after their points deduction. And St. Albans Saints, or United, whichever you would like to call them, They are sitting bottom of the table. They've had 3 draws and 7 losses. So
we've recently done a few features on a couple of the clubs. We started with Dandenong. We were going from top to bottom, reporting on these clubs and giving them a bit of a shout-out.
So best first and last is worst. And we'll just keep going through and we'll just...
What?
We'll have the quality of the article. So we'll start off with fantastic articles.
Yeah, and then we'll go
down.
And we'll
end up with, like, under-14s talks. It'll be like LOL, K, and WTF.
Sure, yeah.
Sweet. Christian, get writing those
written
articles.
Written by Pete, the last one will be, I think. But yeah, so the first one was Dandenong United... Dandenong. Why are we calling every team United?
Dandenong Thunder. There you go. You can actually find that article on our website.
And the second article is up as well, Oakley Cannons.
I love the Oakley Cannons little logo that we've got up there.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
It's quite nice, isn't it? It reminds me of the Nintendo 64 and Mario Kart, that kind of feel.
I love that, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, so check out that. Every few days we'll have another club featured. It might be your club next. So make sure you check it out.
Now, before we go on any further, as you would have known from listening to our last two podcasts, we had our first Scotsman being Ernie Merrick, we had our second Scotsman being Laurie McKenna, and we got another Scotsman sending us messages this week.
Didn't we?
We're overcrowded with Scotsmans at the moment.
Yeah, in Australia, too many Scots. We're just crowding up, and especially crowding up A-League coaches or just coaches.
Definitely.
New South Wales Premier League coaches, they're everywhere. Scots.
They're everywhere, okay? And this time we got a call from Ian Ferguson, who has decided he must talk to us because we've talked to 2 other Scotsmen and he feels that he isn't being noticed and so on. So we'll just get him on the line. We'll see if he's available to have a chat, okay?
Ring, 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 ring.
No, actually, that's me, so...
we'll try again. We'll just
try again. It's on voicemail, so we'll try again. Okay.
Hello? Hello?
Hi, is this Ian Ferguson?
Hi.
Hi, it's Pete from the Football Sack. How are you doing?
Who's that?
Pete from the Football Sack. You sent me a text message this week saying you wanted to call me.
Oh, I remember you. Yeah. You've been talking to, like, to the other... Scott Safara in the country, and
correct.
I thought I wasn't getting enough screen time, you know, or you know, I just
right,
I wanted to get word out there of Perth glory.
Right, cool. So, what did you actually want to talk about today? Did you want to talk
about just players I've got in? We've started pre-season training. And,
awesome. Well, for starters, you've got rid of Tando Vilapi, you've picked up Danny Hukovic, and you've also got Neil Young coming over to be in goals for you.
Well, you called him Vilapi, but it's actually Vilafi, I think you said. It's not Vilapi, that's like, I don't know what that is, it's Vilafi.
Okay.
Right.
Well, how do you think Danny Hukovic and Neil Young will go for your side anyway?
Oh, you don't worry about that. They'll go fine, you know. I think they'll have their best season of the A-League ever. At Perth Glory, you know, it's a fantastic club, town over here in Perth. It's a lovely environment to develop your football skills. You know, we got Robbie Fowler over here. Might get him on for the next season. I don't know yet. He's still make up his mind. I don't know where if he's staying. But we got a lot of other players.
Well, you picked up Travis Dodd, and you also got Shane Scott.
Hi.
From my understanding, they're actually having lunch together today. So, you think the team is starting to gel well together?
Oh, just those two in particular. The rest of the team, I don't know about. But Shane Smeltz and Travis Dodd, they seem to be having lunch together all the time.
So
I think they just like the same food.
Okay, right. So, do you have a clue of where they generally eat or what they prefer to eat?
I think Michael Bridges owns a bar over here as well.
Is he really that loaded, Michael Bridges?
He's got a lot of money, Michael Bridges.
You
wouldn't know it by looking at him because he's got a funny accent as well. So, he's loaded. Is Bridgie.
Right, and you've also picked up Adam Hughes as well as Dane Heffernan. Dane Heffernan, do you think he's going to be playing more of a left back or a left midfield role? And where do you think Adam Hughes is going to fit into your team? Will he keep on that holding midfield role?
Oh, quasi no. We got rid of Jamie a wee while ago. I'll just take it as they come. I got pre-season training just started. You know, they've got plenty of time for me to figure that out. And I'll just give my wee run around the park, and we'll see how some of the young boys do. And I'm sure they'll find their way into the starting lineup sometime during the season.
Last thing I wanted to ask you before I let you go, you've got Celtic who are considering a chance to come over to Australia to play a friendly.
They've got no chance.
We're
going to beat them like 10-0.
Okay, I was simply going to ask if you were going to wear a Celtic jersey under your Perth kit so you could kind of support both clubs, but...
Don't even, nah. Yeah, Celtic.
Okay, well...
10-0 to Perth Glory.
You heard it here first, Ian Ferguson, 10-0 against Celtic. So, thanks for coming on the show, Ian. Hopefully you have a good rest of the day.
Aye.
We'll talk to you soon.
I'm off to have lunch at that bar of Bridges over here in Perth as well. I hear it's quite nice.
Well, we haven't actually got an invite yet. So if you see him, can you ask us, like, put in a good word for us?
I think he's got one in Sydney as well. And if you're in Darwin, or Alice Springs, I think he's got one there as well.
Wow, he really is loaded.
He's quite the...
Thank you so very much for being on the phone today. Thank you.
See you later, Pete.
So that's our third Scotsman in the row, wow.
Wow, you didn't let me have any questions there.
I'm sorry.
You just hogged it. I wanted to ask what his favourite meal was, and you just took all the questions.
I'm sorry.
Maybe next week I'll get to ask a couple of questions.
Yeah, wow. How many more Scotsmen are there in Australia?
You tell me. I'm sure we can keep finding them.
I'm sure we can. Wow, okay.
All right, while we are in WA, why don't we talk about the All Flags State League? A few interesting things happening over there. Western Knights continue to head down the table. I think they're now in fourth. They lost again, so they were 4-1 they lost this week. And
against Inglewood,
yes. And 6-1 last week. So they've, against Perth SC, 10 goals in 2 weeks have gone through their net. That's a lot of goals.
Yeah, things aren't really looking good for their defence, that's for sure.
But who's topping the table at the moment and in the top five?
Top of the table at the moment, we've got Balcatta, who, they actually played NTC this weekend, so their win is more or less redundant.
For those of you who don't know, NTC games, it's like the AIS games played against that team are not
tested for points. Untested for points, yeah. It's more or less just a friendly, keep the guys moving and so on. Coming up second, we've got Perth Soccer Club. They're 2 points behind Balcatta. We've got Inglewood United coming up third, Western Knights in fourth, and Sorrento FC in fifth. Sitting at the bottom of the table, we've got Coburn City, not Cockburn, that would be painful, it's Coburn City. They've got 4 points after 8 games.
Floreat Athena, they got their second win on the trot.
Yeah, 3-1 win over Bayswater City.
Good job to Dave over there. I think he warms the bench, but...
Dave.
From That Was a Goal?
Ah! Dave! Right. Dave-o. No.
He plays for Floreat Athena.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, I think he warms
That's
the bench.
That's fun facts of the week. Woo!
That's fun facts of the week.
Yeah, so That Was a Goal. Kudos to Dave. I really didn't actually know that he played for them, but...
You learned something new.
It's educational, the football sack, that's for sure.
You would hope so. Much more to say about the WA All Flags State League?
Well, no, not really. It was a fairly quiet week, to be honest.
Check out the highlights of that, of the round gone by there on the website. And obviously the match report by That Was a Goal.
Yeah, we have highlights from the Floreat Athena versus Bayswater City match, and we also have the highlights from Western Knights versus Inglewood. They're on our website right there. So
cool. And that was the two games that we were talking about.
Too easy.
Let's do a few shout-outs.
I would like to do some shout-outs.
First up, let's talk a bit about the footy fans down under. It was a rather nice birthday gift that we got today.
Yeah, an early birthday gift.
Early, yeah, yeah. Our birthday on Sunday.
Yeah, we got... we actually found out how many awards that we made the final cut for. Like, we made the top three for four awards.
Which awards were they, Pete?
Football Website of the Year.
Cool.
Obviously, that's down to your work because you basically run the website, so kudos to you.
Well, you know.
Way to make this guy blush.
Way to make me blush.
Well, we have Football / Supporters Best Use of Social Media. I'm claiming that one because I can.
Fair enough. Twitter coordinator.
Oh, yeah. We have Blogger of the Year. Christian Leyland's up for that.
Which is... controversial. Controversial.
Did he go not door to door? I have no idea.
Where did he get his votes? Because he hasn't written... Well, he's written a few articles. Especially he started his feature articles on the VPL clubs, but...
We also have writer Matt Collard, who's also known as Parking the Bus. He's also up for that award.
His own blog, Parking the Bus, I think it's .com, is up for an award. And he really deserves it because he puts a lot of effort into his tactical analysis.
He does. Definitely. And the last award that we're up for is Football Podcast of the Year.
Oh.
It's all on us.
It's all on us now. So if you think, well, there's nothing you can do anymore. Thank you for voting like we asked you to. I hope you did go around to every computer in the mall or at your school or wherever you were that there were multiple computers.
If you had a voting party... Why didn't we get invited? But thank you very much for having lap dances.
I'm sure there are plenty of lap dances.
Thank you very much.
Laptop dances, we should specify.
Yes, laptop dances. Those ones.
So thank you for voting, whoever voted.
We find out how we actually did on June 3rd. That's when the award ceremony is going to be. So, fingers crossed,
We
get a couple of them.
We'll let you know.
Other shout-outs? This is... a bit of a shout-out to ourselves. It's our birthday on Sunday, as we've mentioned countless times. And we also have a Facebook event set up about this. So you can always jump on facebook.com, find our event, which is Football Sack Turns 1. It says the name in its title. It's really, really easy. And we have a couple of things that we want to know. So how are you planning to celebrate our birthday? First up, are you going to go to McDonald's and hire out the party house for us? Next up, are you going to hold a sack party and have duck sauce Barbara Streisand on repeat? If so, you're a bit crazy because it gets boring after a while. Number three, why haven't you got into the sack with one of our riders yet?
Mm-hmm.
Number four, climb to the tallest building and scream out, "Happy birthday, football sack."
Good idea.
Mainly because it's theatrical and I think it would look really, really cool.
Film it.
Definitely. Basically, if you send us in a picture of how you're going to celebrate our birthday, if you've baked us cupcakes or a cake, you can send us in a picture of it.
Yeah.
Or if you've written us a poem.
That's nice. Write us a poem or a song or something.
How you feel about the football sack.
Yeah, we might have a little competition to see who does have the best idea on how to celebrate the football sack. And we'll have a few little things to give away, perhaps.
Perhaps.
You heard it here first. Don't quote us on it, but... No, you can quote us on it.
We'll give away something, no doubt.
Something.
Even if it's the string that I broke on your guitar 3 podcasts ago. We'll give away something. So get on to that, that's for sure.
Any Twitter follower shout-outs that we got quickly before we wrap up the show?
We had Victory Blog, also known as Victory Cast, asking us to give a bit of a hello and a bit of a shout-out. If you want to know anything about Melbourne Victory, contact Victory Blog. Fantastic website. Great guy to chat to.
Jason Tully asked for a shout-out via Twitter. G'day, mate.
We just have the usual sackers, really.
Yep, all those...
All the usual crew.
All the crew that follow the football sack religiously. Bow down to us. Don't do that. All right. I think that about wraps up the show. We're going to head off, watch the Sydney FC second half, taking on Suwon Blue Wings. We hope they have won, otherwise we might be a bit teary in the morning. Thank you very much for being on the show today, Pete.
Thank you for having me. Always good to get the call to know that I'm going to be back on this week.
Yeah, have a good time down in Melbourne.
I will.
Representing the Football Sack.
Will do.
Yeah, say good day if you get on TV with your North Queensland.
I will. So keep an eye out for me. I'm basically a tall guy, long hair, and I have a Fury jersey on. So if you find me around the stadium, give us a hello.
Yeah. All right. From all of us here at the Football Sack.
Apparently there's 23 writers of us. Sorry. I just wanted to throw that in. We have 23 writers. When did that happen? So anyway, from all of us.
From all 23 of us. We'll see you next week at our birthday edition of the podcast. See you next week, boys and girls. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening.
Football Sack.